Welcome to the Zimcast, a program dedicated to bringing you what's new in agricultural marketing. The Zimcast is the official podcast of AgWired and hosted by Chuck and Cindy Zimmerman.
Hello and welcome to the Zimcast. I'm Chuck Zimmerman. It's a busy week for our Zimcom. We're going to be three different places this week. I'll be doing the beef board blogging for the fifth year now for the Cattlemen's Beef Board, and that'll be at the Cattle Industry Convention in San Antonio. Also covering the convention on agwire.com, courtesy of our sponsor, Novus International. Cindy will be off down to Atlanta, Georgia for the International Poultry Expo, and again, that's courtesy of our coverage sponsor there, Novus International. And then Joanna Schrader will be in Houston, Texas for the U.S. Ag Associates Conference, 17th annual one, and that is courtesy of our sponsor, Stoller USA. We'd like to thank all of our sponsors for making it possible for us to go to these industry events and bring you all the sights and sounds as we do through interviews and pictures and, of course, it seems like an increasing amount of video clips as well. In this week's program, we're going to talk to a company that impressed me quite a bit when I was at Ag Connect Expo about their use of social media. That company is AGCO, and I'm going to speak to Sue Otten and learn about the kind of who, what, where, when, and why that they got into this new media, social media outreach to their customers. And hopefully you'll enjoy it. We had a nice conversation, and that's what I'm going to bring to you in this week's program. Sue, it's really good to talk to you, and it was great to have a chance to meet with you down at Ag Connect Expo, and really appreciate AGCO's sponsorship of the tweet up that we did there. And so I'd love to talk about social networking and online communications, and because AGCO and I'm assuming with in large part with your direction and work has, I think, kind of jumped into this quite a bit. You're corporate marketing and brand communications manager, I believe. So why don't you give me a little bit of a why has AGCO kind of taken this approach to use some of these new tools to communicate with?
Yes, it was great to meet you, Chuck, down at Connect. That was a great show, and we really got into social media because I think it would be a real mistake not to. There's a lot of people out there that are, especially in our industry, that are using that platform. There's discussions going on. There's, you know, chats that are happening, and, you know, as a manufacturer, we want to know what our customers are thinking and saying and what's important to them. And to not be involved in that, I think, is a real mistake. So I think we got into it so we could learn, so we could stay connected to our customers, so we could learn from them, not only learn about the platform, but also learn from customers. So we really think it's a great tool for communicating. And, you know, it certainly opens up a whole new customer base for us. The demographics are a little bit younger than our typical or our average customer age, so that's a good thing. We can to customers, I think, that we don't normally have access to, and that's a good thing.
Well, and I think one of the things I hear you saying is you kind of have an interaction, sort of a personal interaction then with people who either are customers or potentially could be. And that's, we like to use the word engagement now. You know, it lets you sort of engage in at least a communications way with them. So, you know, I guess what I find interesting, and I'd like your perspective on this, is I'm still dealing with a lot of people, whether it's with an agribusiness company or agencies, who look at this and I guess they're thinking in terms of traditional media, where you want to try to reach a mass audience, you know, and it's all about how big the audience is. And would you say that I'm just going to make a guess here, you're not reaching big numbers of people's here, but you are reaching the right people?
Well, definitely. You know, and the numbers are growing. We our fan page on Facebook is close to 1,000 now, and we've been doing it for since September, and that's a pretty rapid adoption. You know, we're not. We are growing virally through our fans telling their friends about it. We're not doing, you know, gobs of advertising to drive people to the fan page. And we're also, I mean, we're real excited about the demographics of Facebook. In fact, I'm getting updated numbers on it right now. But I know a year ago, Facebook had 350,000 profiles with farming or agriculture. And, you know, considering how fast Facebook is growing, I'm sure that number is at least doubled. I would guess we're probably more than a million now, if I was going to take a guess. So, you know, if you could have a conversation for very little money with a potential audience of a million customers, why would you not do it? I think that it's just to get involved in it. It's kind of on the leading edge for agriculture. I don't think as an industry we've really adopted social media as some of the other industries have. But, you know, that's a great time to get involved then, you know, and you can learn while it's a little bit quieter and a little bit smaller. And also our numbers aren't going to be as huge as, you know, the 405,000 that's on Harley-Davidson's site or the millions and millions that are on Coca-Cola's site, because we don't have those kind of products. I mean, agriculture is a specific industry. You know, there's a smaller number of people involved in it than, for example, people that would be a fan of Coca-Cola or, you know, potential audience for Harley-Davidson motorcycles. So the numbers don't bother me. I think the other ways we look at some of the demographics are the amount of interactions we're having, the quality of the conversations and the questions we're getting, the number of people that dial in when we have live chats. You know, we did our first one December on harvesting, and for our first effort, we were very pleased with it. We got great quality questions, some great discussion. People had access to product marketing specialists that has vast knowledge in that space. We're going to use that platform a lot. And then what's great about it is you can redeploy that content, the video of that chat, and use it on YouTube and keep it within the you know, the platform of Ustream, so that that content can be leveraged and viewed again. We're really excited about when we go to shows and we're able to show products, talk to product specialists there, and videotape that. I was just looking at some videos last night that we did at Agritechnica in Germany. We did an English version and a German version, and those videos have been viewed well over 1,000 times, each one of them. So, I mean, that's really exciting stuff, that this is very specific product. We tag the videos very specifically so people can find them. You know, with YouTube being the number two search engine now, we just think there's a lot of opportunity for great content in a video format. But you got to make sure you're putting in the right keywords so customers can find your videos. I mean, there's gazillions of videos up there. We've got to make sure that we're making it easy for our fans and our potential customers and our customers to find that information.
Well, I just love talking to somebody who, quote, gets it, you know, because there are so many people who still don't even know what a tag is, you know, or what the importance of keywords and the importance of being in some environments that are so, like you said, highly search engine. I don't want to say optimized, they are, but they, like with YouTube, just being a place that people go to search, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, that goes for so many things. Yesterday, just as an anecdote, I have a relative that has to have some surgery. Mm-hmm. And first thing she did was go to YouTube and was able to watch the surgery in a video that she's going to have done on her, which I guess alleviated some of her anxiety for that. But I mean, I might not have thought of that, you know.
Yeah,
but that's what people are doing.
Exactly. And you know, one thing that we get questioned all the time internally, as well as discussions and when you meet people and you talk about what you're doing with social media, there's that constant question or argument that comes up, well, what about the ROI? How can you really measure your return on investment? And, you know, I just find that kind of funny, because did we have that same kind of discussion when, you know, newspapers came out? Ooh, what's the ROI on newspapers? What's the ROI on radio? Should we have a corporate internet? What's this thing called the internet? Do we really need to do that? We have corporate brochures and we have annual reports. Why would we need a corporate website? You know, it's just another communication tool. And yes, there's lots of studies and there's lots of great information. You mentioned before engagement, and engagement is a direct function of, or there's a direct correlation between the level of engagement and the financial performance of a company. There was a study that was done last year on 100 companies in different industries, and the wallflowers, those that, you know, had a presence but were just, you know, maybe they had a page up and that's all they did. Check, we have a social media presence. You know, their financial performance was not nearly as good as the mavens, the people that are out there and actively engaging with their customers, having intelligent conversations, answering questions, answering the tough questions. You know, when we had that chat, there was a lot of questions that, man, you know, you knew they would be coming, but you know, weren't really all that happy about it. But those questions are being asked. Isn't it a wonderful opportunity to be able to answer those questions?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah,
and the ROI thing, I think, is kind of a hot topic in this arena of new media as an overall category. And I agree. I am dealing with some clients now who are going to solely measure an integrated campaign by things like banner ad click-throughs. And I'm thinking, well, what about the other elements that make up this communications plan that includes, you know, online stories, and that Twitter posts and YouTube videos? You know, when you get a campaign that includes, say, up to as many as 10 or more different channels that are going on in there, that's a lot of statistics to look at. You know, is there just one of those that's going to tell you whether this is successful or not? And, you know, I know this is not easy, and I know the reason behind it, but I think you're making a great point about how the engagement and the ability to communicate with your customer from those companies who are doing it actively, there has at least been some evidence to show that they're, frankly, they're doing better financially, you know? So how do you point your finger to exactly it was this Twitter post that did it, you know?
Well, and, you know, there's tons of anecdotal information that's very exciting, too. You know, we've done a lot in the harvesting area, and when I have a marketing manager that says, man, I don't know what's different, but things are going really well, and, you know, you kind of sit back and chuckle and it's like, well, you know, I know one thing that's different. You weren't doing social media last year.
Right.
You know, and this is one of the guys that has really been a very early adopter of the social media and has been providing us a ton of content. And, you know, is it a coincidence that his stuff is really taking off? I don't think so. I think it's more than coincidence.
Yeah. Well, when you have you're employing a number of mechanisms, and if you go to agcocorp.com, which we should point people to here, they're going to find, I'm looking at it right now, and you've got a spotlight element of your homepage, which is pointing people to information on your Facebook page, and bottom toolbar, I can see links to Facebook, Twitter, YouTube. If you look at those various elements, you know, I kind of think they all are spokes of a wheel, so to speak, but do you find that any seem to, well, let me put it, ask it this way. Do you like some other than others, or any kind of thoughts on that?
Well, I think they work really well together. I think you need to be aware of the different tools and platforms that are out there and see what works best for your messaging. For us, we like, Facebook is really, really easy. It's fast. You know, I can put posts up and attach pictures and do links. And, you know, the best thing about Facebook is it's just it's really easy, and you get a little bit more robust information than what you get on Twitter. Mm-hmm. Twitter is really great because it you know, you get the information out to a little bit different audience. I have noticed that we have more kind of enterprise or institutional followers on Twitter, whereas Facebook is more individuals, or at least it looks to me like individuals. Yeah. But you have on Twitter that opportunity for a university or an extension service or an association or, you know, those kind of multipliers following you and then retweeting, which is a great way to get your message out with a little bit of an endorsement. You know, if you have content out there that somebody finds valuable enough to forward on to their audience, you know, hey, that's a big thumbs up, and that's great kind of stuff.
Yeah.
So, you know, that kind of thing is, you know, real. I mean, Twitter's not hard either. It's just a different platform, and you have to kind of figure out how to get your message mm-hmm. communicated in a different way. You know, 140 character right. message with connections to other stuff. But we also use Scribd to post documents, and Ustream, like I mentioned, for the live chats for streaming. We were a little disappointed. We didn't have big enough bandwidth at the show. We were all set to do live streaming from the show, but we did it from the for the tweet up because we had great bandwidth in that room.
Right.
But out on the show floor, we weren't able to sustain the bandwidth we needed either via phone or via the internet to do the tweets. But to do the live video. But that's our next, you know, big hurdle we want to get over, and that seems to be a constant challenge at these farm
right.
shows that we can't get. You know, when you're out in the field in the middle of, you know, Illinois or Nebraska, it's hard to get good bandwidth to be able to do live video. But we're still working on it. We got great technology partners that are helping us figure this stuff out. So we'll get there.
I think you're seeing some efforts in Washington, D.C. to speak to that issue. I
yes.
actually was interviewed for a story yesterday, and they wanted to talk about the request to try to reallocate some spectrum to wireless away from broadcast, and of course there's resistance to that, but my feeling is we are seeing such a high adoption rate of wireless technology, which is not only, you know, mobile phones but also computer broadband access, that we're kind of overloading the system we've got right now, and
right.
or else we do have areas still where we don't have that access yet, at least in a good way. But I had the same problems down there at Orange County Convention Center too, and you know, it's what it is, I guess.
Yeah.
But hopefully we just consider the fact that, you know, gosh, half a dozen years ago it didn't even exist there, you know.
Exactly.
We've come a long way.
We'll get there, and you know, in the meantime we'll keep putting up videos, and you know, people just won't, they'll just have to wait a little while, you know, and that's okay too.
Yeah.
You know?
Oh, absolutely.
And you know, I just think there's so many great tools out there. Google's got a great suite of apps that work well. It's just, there's lots of opportunity, and people just have to evaluate what's there.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we have some great guys that we work with that help us with that. You know, if people want to get started, they shouldn't fear it. You know, there's
mm-hmm.
a billboard in the Atlanta area that says, "Don't fear the thermostat." Yeah. And it's kind of like, don't yeah. fear social media. I just really encourage people in the industry to get started, because the more information we have out there, the more content we can share and point to, you know, it's just better for the customers, and it's good for the farmers, it's good for the manufacturers, and good for the country. So,
well, I was going to ask you before we concluded here if you had a recommendation for a company or an individual that wants to get started in this, if they haven't already, and I think certainly getting over a hesitancy, maybe out of fear or whatever it is one of those. But that, I think that's a really good point. And one other kind of quick question, since the company is so actively engaged socially, do you have a company policy? Because if you're doing it, I think maybe that sends a message to employees that, that it's okay for them to, or so how do you deal with that issue in terms of your employees?
Yeah, and you know, we the little group that we have here that's doing social media, you know, inside corporate, you know, in the communications area and marketing area, we really rely heavily on the product people and the people that really have knowledge of the types of things that our customers are asking about. So we do rely on them to provide us answers to questions as well as content, you know, when we're putting something up there proactively. And we do have a policy, and I think it's social media etiquette is what I like to call it, is, you know, you don't spam other people's sites, you don't use profanity, you know, those are two things that we don't tolerate on our site, and I'll delete posts that that are in those areas. But the other thing that's kind of a social media etiquette thing is that, and we also have it as one of our core values, is transparency.
Right.
We don't want employees to be posting something that without the customer or without the customer knowing that they're an AGCO employee. It just seems a little bit weird or a little bit odd, and we don't want to do anything that is weird or odd with our customers. We want to be transparent and genuine with them. So all we ask is that if, you know, employees, we've granted access to Facebook and the social media sites at all locations worldwide. You know, we're not, you know, Big Brother policing them, that, you know, we expect them to be professionals and, you know, do work stuff during the workday and all that. But if they are going to post, and that's fine, we don't have a policy that they can't post. We just ask that they disclose that they work for AGCO and what their position is. And anybody that wants an official corporate response posted, then they come back through us and we post it with the AGCO identity. So it's like the official response.
Well, that's I think that makes a lot of good common sense.
Yeah, and that's kind of what it's about. You know, really, the social media platforms are just like a cafe that the farmers go to have coffee in the morning and catch up on the local news and talk with their buddies. That's really how I see social media, but in a bigger sense. You know, it's a worldwide cafe,
right.
And we're speaking all different languages there. In fact, if you see our Facebook page, we have quite a few posts in different languages, and we had some fun the other day with translations and stuff like that with some of our fans. But if you walked into a cafe, you know, not knowing anybody, you'd be quiet and you just kind of listen in on the conversation. If you had something to contribute, you know, you'd gently and, you know, quietly, you know, maybe join into that conversation. But it's exactly like that. And if people think of social media in that context, that it's just like a local cafe, mm-hmm. where you're not going to barge in on a conversation. You're going to listen in and you're going to contribute when it makes sense. That's the kind of etiquette or the kind of rapport we want to have. We want to listen to our customers. We don't want to barge in. But, you know, they're there because they're fans and they want to learn stuff, too. So we will definitely share information with them. And, you know, if they've come to our site and have fanned us, I think of them as a huge resource and a wonderful asset to the company. And the more that we can give them the information that they might be willing to pass on or talk to their friends about, what a wonderful opportunity. You know, these are large purchases. It's a big investment that, you know, farmers keep for a number of years. The reference selling and the emotional aspect of buying these products is huge.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
right.
Granted, we make great products and we have great technology and, you know, there's brand loyalty, but at the end of the day, a lot of what influences the sale and helps to drive the purchase decision, either through acquisition of information on what is the best product or, you know, hey, I bought this, it works for me, or I bought that and it doesn't work really great. That's the kind of information that is hugely valuable out there. And social media is just a way to help foster that, help move that along. Give your best customers, your best advocates the information they need to do a better job for you.
Well,
I think it's a wonderful tool.
Good. Well, I certainly couldn't agree more, and glad to hear it, and really appreciate the opportunity to talk with you, Sue, about this, because there are still a lot of people, I think, in the industry that are, you know, trying to figure out how and why and if and when and what, and hearing from somebody like yourself with some of your experiences is real helpful. So I really appreciate that, and I know they will too. Anything else that we didn't touch on that you might want to bring up before we close?
I think the only thing, you know, if I was going to give recommendations on how to get started or what to do if you're thinking about doing it is really go find yourself a good consultant. It, you know, we're all too busy in the corporate world to try to figure this stuff out on their own. And these guys are worth their weight in gold. They make it faster, cheaper, and easier. You know, rather than fumbling around and making mistakes, you know, find someone who has done this, who's got experience in, you know, a commercial kind of a social media presence like what you're trying to do. It can really accelerate the learning curve, prevent you from making mistakes, help you to cost justify it to your management internally if that's an issue. But, you know, don't think you got to do it alone. I think sometimes we try to ride that white knight, you know, into oblivion trying to do it all ourselves, and you don't need to do that. They're definitely worth the investment because it saves you so much time and money. Mm-hmm.
Well, I would like to think so, since that's kind of what we do for a lot of our clients.
Definitely.
Well, again, thank you very much, Sue Otten, who is Director of Corporate Marketing and Brand Communications Worldwide for AGCO. We enjoyed seeing and meeting her at AgConnect Expo, and the opportunity to get to learn a little bit more about how social AGCO has gotten online.
Yeah. And, you know, Chuck, if anybody has follow-up questions, feel free to post my email address if you want. I'm serious about if companies, you know, in the agriculture space have questions about how to get started or things that we've done. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's an open book. That's why we sponsored the tweet up at AgConnect. We are really committed and interested in this platform moving forward in the industry, and anything that we can do to help, we'd be happy to do that.
All right. Well, I really appreciate it, and I know others will as well. It's great to see companies like AGCO taking advantage of the tools that they have to communicate with. And as you heard Sue say, if you need some help, don't hesitate to call an expert who really has the experience at doing this. And if nothing more, they can certainly answer questions for you. And here at ZimCom New Media, we'd certainly love to do that. So feel free to give me a call. Well, that's the ZimCast for this week. I hope you enjoyed it. And thank you for listening.
You've been listening to the ZimCast, the official podcast of AgWired. Check us out at www.agwired.com to find out what's new in agricultural marketing.